We are very pleased to be joined by the president of the PGA of America, Brian Whitcomb. Brian, good morning to you.
How are all you?
Oh, we're good. Thanks for spending a couple minutes with us on
a
very busy weekend for the PGA of America. Now, we know it's a big year. Any year that includes the Ryder Cup is a big year for the PGA of America. But we also know that January is a huge month for the PGA of America because it's the annual Merchandisers Show in Orlando. It's a fabulous three-day event, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday up there at the Convention Center. It's enormous. Give us an idea for what are all the numbers we're talking about? How many clubs? How many merchandisers are involved? What's the square footage of that room? Because I've been up there a couple of times, and Kelly Elbin of the PGA America is like, it's almost like the mayor of the merchandise show. He holds my hands and walks me through, and as long as you're with Kelly, you know you're going to be taken care of. But give us an idea for the grand scale of this thing, because it's enormous.
Well, it's just an unbelievable show. I mean, it really is. We have over 1 million square feet of floor space, and you were just talking about Lambeau Field, and about 15 or 16 Lambeau Fields would fit within the walls of the Orange County Convention Center that we use. We have over 10 miles of aisle space just for people walking around, and I tell you, you need all 10 miles of it with all the people that were there. We had over 45,000 PGA members and people of influence with regards to buying merchandise and products and services that can better serve the golfing public. So we were excited about this week. We had a lot of things going on. We had Annika Sörenstam there to receive an award, but also give a presentation. Jim Furyk, just a wonderful week full of excitement, kicking off the 2008 golf season, and we're excited about it. There was a lot of upbeat, good feel about the Orange County Convention Center and our 55th PGA Merchandise Show this week.
Brian, it always seems to be like a hot issue or a hot equipment, something at the show. Like there's a driver, a golf ball, something like that. What was sort of the hot new thing this year?
Well, you know, that square driver is still a real interesting piece of equipment. I'll tell you, they've really refined some of the physics of it, and they've refined some of the noise that comes out of the golf shot. And so the square driver is still kind of the in thing, that's for sure, on the hard goods side. But, you know, we did a lot of things there this week. We obviously saw some new equipment, and we just kind of mentioned one of the highlights of that. But we also had a golf economy forum, and that's important. We had Tim Fincham from the PGA Tour, David Fave from the United States Golf Association, Steve Mona, the head of the World Golf Foundation, and, of course, Joe Steranko, our chief executive officer. And they talked about the economy of golf and what's going on in America, and of course a bunch of facts and figures, but also what we're trying to do to promote this great game of golf, in our case through Play Golf America. But just it was a week to celebrate this, what I believe to be the greatest game of them all, the game of golf.
Brian Whitcomb, the president of the PGA of America, joining us here on the line. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. And, Brian, I was watching some of the coverage. Unfortunately, this is the first year since 2004 that I haven't been able to go up to Orlando and at least spend a day or two up there at the merchandise show. But I have been watching the coverage on Golf Channel. I think they do a great job. And you talk about the square drivers. They actually have now square three woods. So the square geometry is now making its way to fairway woods, three woods, and five woods. But I thought the coolest thing, Pat, the Crocs. I'm sure your kids have the Crocs sandals. They now have Crocs soft spikes. They've got golf shoes. Crocs is making a golf shoe in the form of their Crocs sandals that have soft spikes on the bottom. I thought that was pretty cool, Brian.
Well, they were a big hit, and the buzz around there was a lot about that. That's for sure. It was. You're right. It's never ending, and you know it's two things. It's trying to improve the equipment and the opportunities for us to play the game better, us the golfing public. And then the other thing, of course, there's the fashion side of things, and you can go down on the soft goods end that was just completely packed, and you can talk about your Crocs or wherever we want to that kind of do a hybrid of not only fashion but better equipment. So it's a wonderful exchange of ideas. It's a chance for PGA professionals to see the newest and best new products, and it's a chance for us to get energized and motivated about the upcoming season, not dissimilar to that wonderful golf tournament in April in Augusta, Georgia.
There you go.
That kickoff to the golf season, and I can tell you, as a person who lives up in Oregon, I cannot wait for the golf season to get here and get started again. So we're excited about it, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, Brian is based in Bend, Oregon at the Lost Tracks Golf Club up there in the Great Northwest, and kind enough to... Are you in Oregon right now? Because if you are, it's awfully early for you out there. Is it 6:30 where you're at?
Nope, I'm right here in Orlando.
Okay.
Still just finishing up the show. I had a couple things to do this morning, and one of the highlights, of course, is visiting with all of you and your listeners. So this is a culmination of an exciting week, and I can't think of a better way for me to end my busy week here at the PGA Merchandise Show than to visit with your guests and trying to enlighten them about our PGA Merchandise Show and get them excited to get out there and play golf, America.
Yeah, definitely. And, Brian, you mentioned the economy of golf just a little while ago in one of your answers, and I want to ask you about that because I've read in different articles that the plus-minus or the addition slash subtraction of golf courses in the U.S. the last couple of years has been on the minus side, and I know that's a trend that the PGA of America is probably not excited about. And can you give us more clarity on that, on those trends, and also what are you planning on doing to try to curb that?
Well, you spoke very accurately. For the first time last year, I believe, our records indicate that more golf courses closed in America than were opened. I think it was about 148 golf courses opened, and I think 154 or 5 golf courses closed. So your statement is absolutely accurate. And that's the first time since post-World War II we believe that those records would indicate that. And so that is a problem that we need to address. I think if we take kind of a business perspective just for a moment, and I don't want to bore your listeners, but, golf is kind of a derivative of the has a derivative component to the old supply and demand concept of the economy. Some golf courses are built for things other than golf. We can all imagine those, the land around it, the development around it, all the ancillary activities. So in the truest form, golf does not necessarily adhere to a true supply and demand theory of economics. So some of these golf courses and the slowdown of growth of the golf courses, they concern us, but we have to look a little deeper as far as which golf courses didn't open and why, and are they true to the opportunities for people to play the game of golf or not. But I can tell you through Play Golf America, and you've got one of your Florida natives, one of our own that we're most proud of, M.G. Orender, one of our past presidents, who's the spearhead of Play Golf America, and we're working hard to try to invite people to come out and play this great game for all the values that are too many to even list here in the short amount of time we have.